Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at Spider-Man One More Day. Let's go. Don't ever change. Yeah, it's just some complex tumbling. How you doing?
I'm fine.
I try to not ask either of you too much about what you've been up to before we start this podcast, just so that we have something to talk about when we start this.
I think about that too.
Seem kind of standoffish while we're setting up.
We don't speak.
Yeah. No. Don't talk to me right now.
Yeah. So it's currently, we're recording this in 2021. But I think by the time this comes out, shall be 2022.
Wow. Happy New Year. A podcast that transcends years.
Yes. And I was going to say something, but I don't feel like going into it. So yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. Did you set any comic book resolutions? I already fulfilled one of mine.
Yeah, what was it?
Well, I'm jumping ahead. It's kind of what you've been reading, yo, but I finished Death of Superman.
Ah.
I'll talk about that more in what you've been reading, yo. But now the next one is my to end 2022 with an empty stack of shame. And right now my stack of shame is roughly the size of my head.
That's a lot of shame.
That's my books just stacked up.
I'm still considering for me, this is abuse, self-hate, self-harm, considering my digital stack. Stack of shame.
See, that it's hard. I mean, there's the digital stack of shame that you actually truly have intent to read.
Yeah, mine is
and
huge.
Then there's the one that you were like, well, I would read that. Like right now I'm trying to read Animal Man from the 80s and Doom Patrol from the 80s. So I would call those my actual digital stack of shame. But there's other books that are out there that I should read that I don't know exist or I don't actually plan to read.
Well, sure. I
so guess you have to delineate the line somewhere.
Truly, the ones that I have intent to read, of like saying, like, I'm going to read this.
Yeah.
It's out
of control. We have the entirety of the New 52.
Yeah. We're in the weeds. We're below the weeds. We're multiple, 6 feet under.
Multiple thousands of books.
Yeah. That's just from DC.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll get to that eventually. But do go ahead and tell us what your comic book resolutions are, Drew. Where can they reach out and let us know about those?
Yeah, tell us your New Year's comic resolutions on Discord. Actually, I'm going to start by saying Discord.
Discord's been hopping.
It's good. We want to talk to you. That's like the easiest way to actually have conversations with us. That's how we launched and had our successful first ever two-man Secret Santa.
What a hoot.
So you'll find a link down in the Discord, or down in
the description.
The
show notes.
That's what it was. I was going to say
where you're listening / watching.
I was going to say doobly doo again. There's a link down there. Please, we want you to engage with us there. You can find us on Twitter at Two Man Comic Book with the number 2, Instagram, Facebook, Two Man. Just search Two Man Comic Book Club. Shoot us an email, twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com. Give us a phone call, 662-MAN-FAN-8.
Just talk to us, please.
And possibly the most valuable thing to us would be if you're enjoying us, you've been listening, we're almost at 100 episodes. Maybe check out our Patreon and consider supporting us. We've got some ideas for things that we want to do if we can ever make this thing a little bit more financially feasible. So that's you can find that just patreon.com/twomancomicbookclub, once again with the number 2.
Just need some backing to get some of those done, because it takes a lot of extra work to get this done. You can find me at all social media spaces at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman. Drew, where can they find you personally?
You can find everything you need to know about me at drewmorrismusic.com.
Torrance? You can find me at church every Sunday.
All churches.
I don't know about that.
Any church.
Cool. We're going to cover Spider-Man, not just today.
No.
But.
So You may be wondering, we've made it 100 episodes. How have we not talked about Spider-Man? Well, because we've just been going through and like thinking, hey, this is an interesting one. Everybody knows about Spider-Man, right? Everybody knows about Batman. Everybody knows about Superman. But we wanted to show you the Mr. Miracles, the Visions, stuff like that. But a new movie recently came out. And if you listen to our last episode, you know all about it. And it kind of put us in a Spidey mood. So we had a collection of Spider-Man stories that we were thinking of covering. And we put it to a vote on the Discord. And it's kind of tied. And then Alex actually came up with another one that was even probably more appropriate after the new after No Way Home. So we're going to cover that one today. That's one more day. And we're going to go ahead and celebrate Spidey Month, Jan-U-Spidey, Spidey-U-ary. I didn't workshop that before I said it. Let's just call it Spider Month and or Spidey Month, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So this month, we're dropping one more day. And then the next 3 months or the next 3 weeks, we're going to cover the three that we kind of talked. Do you want to say what they are, or do we want to leave it to a surprise?
Join our Discord if you really want to know so you can jump in and actually read it. We'll be putting our stuff there that we're going to read more frequently.
So we're going to cover four Spider-Man miniseries in 4 weeks. And the great thing is they're not continuous. So you can just like drop in and listen to number one or number three or number four and then double back to number two, whatever. You don't have to listen to 6 weeks to make them sense.
Yeah, so and they'll stand on their own. You know, they'll connect to stuff if you want to go, you know, start puzzle piecing and fall down the rabbit hole, as we say. But
so we're gonna try that. We're gonna try that because some people have made comments that it gets a little intimidating to drop in on Vision issue or episode number four. You know, sometimes if you haven't checked the other ones, so we're gonna try something new where maybe a story is covered in one, maybe two issues or two episodes.
Yeah.
This year, so. This month, January of 2022, is Spidey Month, and if you want to tell who you want us to cover next, join the Discord and let us know.
Yeah, do that. Drew, what you been reading, yo?
Oh, man.
A whole bunch of stuff. You brought things to show the class.
And technically, I haven't read any of those, but I'll get to those last. So, like I mentioned, I finished Death of Superman, which I'd read the novelization before by Roger Stern. He's one of the writers who did some of the stories. And I'll tell you, a lot of that story was awesome. Some of it was not. Just like the writing. It was from the 90s, and it sounds like it. Some of the art wasn't super great. Not my favorite. But overall, it's a story about Superman coming back and after fighting Doomsday, you know. And it's good. Like, if you have an inkling that you would ever want to learn a little bit more about Superman, it might be a good place to check out to see kind of the old stuff. So I read that, and one of the books that happens in the storyline is a Green Lantern book that's not on DC Universe, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I went to go jump over and read it because there's this cyborg Superman. Spoiler alert from like 30 years ago. He comes through. He turns out to be a bad guy.
Yeah,
and he destroys all of Coast City, which is Green Lantern's home. But it's actually him and Mongol. Working together, and it's just like a throw off. It's just like, oh yeah, 7 million people died. Moving off
panel.
Yeah, I mean, well, like the actual killing, it just happens so quick. Mm. And I was like, I wonder what happens. Like, this is Green Lantern's home,
but they don't really address it much, right?
No. In the book. So I went to go check out the Green Lantern to see what was happening and how they addressed it there.
Yeah.
Turns out Hal Jordan was off world, but he comes back and helps to defeat Mongol. And then I just kept reading because Green Lantern like goes off the rails with this. And that might be something I'd like to go into a little bit more, maybe a future coverage, because I found out that after three or four episodes, like the one that I wanted to read wasn't on DC Universe, but the one immediately after it was. So it's like, okay, maybe I can
coveted put the pieces
together. Yeah. It's called like Emerald Rain or something. Emerald Rain or something. But it like three issues of Hal Jordan and then the first issue of Kyle Rayner, which I have.
Oh, cool.
So like I've been reading that and I'm like, I think I'm just going to chunk along with
this. There's so many Green Lanterns and other lanterns.
So, so I've been reading some Green Lantern, Death of Superman, and I'm going to talk about two more real quick because I don't want to gobble up all the time.
Gobble.
I started reading the current run of Moon Knight. Because I saw this YouTube video where someone's like, hey, this is a great place to jump onto Moon Knight if you don't know who he is. It's currently ongoing. There's three issues on Marvel Unlimited right now.
Do you know who's doing it?
I can tell you.
Or I can look while you talk, I guess.
Well, my thing is, there we go. No, mine's been acting weird and not letting me see all this stuff that I want.
No, have you on the most recent update?
Yes.
Here, I'm just going to search Moon Knight. It's the new update lets you
fascinating search. Radio.
Does a pretty good job.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, I found it too. Details.
I'll let you take it.
It's read more. Not in here.
Jed McKay is the writer. Alessandro Capuccio, the penciler, inker. Rachel Rosenberg is the colorist. I don't know if it changes from one to the next, but it's like each episode, each issue is almost episodic, but it fills it in as we go.
Oh, cool.
So I would recommend you jump into it. It's interesting, and there's a Moon Knight thing coming up soon. So it's worth it if you have Marvel Unlimited. If not, you could probably find it in your local comic shop.
If you don't have Marvel Unlimited and you're listening to almost episode 100 of this show, you're not listening.
So that's good. I enjoy it. It's an interesting quirk. I won't go into it much because he's a guy who might be worthy of us mentioning or covering.
Yeah.
And another one, I'm just going to say there's a current Hulk run that's in comic shops right now. Number three is going to come out in a couple weeks. What do you say? Donnie Cates.
Yeah.
Some
of you might know him from like Silver Surfer Black. Okay. No. That's not Donnie Cates. He did the most recent Venom run. Silver, yeah, was it him? Okay, yeah, it's Donnie Cates. Okay, I wasn't misspeaking. For a second, as soon as I said Silver Surfer Black, a screenshot of Dan Slott smiling flashed across my head. But I just remember that he did Silver Surfer at some point, so my subconscious fought me on that.
So there's a new Hulk out, and yeah. I'm just going to tell you the premise because it might be enough to hook some of you.
Yeah.
So, and the tagline at the bottom is, maybe Bruce Banner isn't protecting us from the Hulk. What if the Hulk is protecting us from Bruce Banner?
Ooh.
And so basically Bruce Banner has figured out a way to partition Hulk's mind and turn Hulk's body into a spaceship. Yeah, so like,
wow,
we see...
It's very comic booky.
yeah, so like Hulk is behind one partition, like smashing the door. And Bruce Banner is in the control seat of the other one in the psyche.
Yeah.
And like, he's like fighting Iron Man, like trying to get through. And basically he has, it's like, imagine the danger room from X-Men. That's what Hulk inside the brain is doing. Cause as long as he keeps Hulk angry, the spaceship Hulk gets fueled, but he's like talking as Bruce Banner. Yeah. And it's just like, okay.
I mean, so far, is it like really campy or are you like,
no,
I'm intrigued?
I'm intrigued.
Okay.
And that's why I almost had you try to find one whenever we went to the shop the other day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's early. It's not on Marvel Unlimited yet.
Right.
But it should be in a couple months.
I mean, if you don't know, I mean, I remember when I first started reading comics, I did a bad job of like paying attention to who was making these things that I liked. You should try to go out of your way and like, not only just because, you know, they deserve recognition for this, but also you'll probably find some other stuff that you like. Hence the Tom King binge that I've been on for the last year. Donnie Cates is one of the hottest writers in Marvel right now. Like, he's writing all these big projects. He did Guardians of the Galaxy. He did all the Venom stuff. He did Silver Surfer Black. He's doing the crossover event for Image Comics. He did the God Country. Yeah, he did that one. Like, he's
being optioned into a Netflix show.
Yeah, and he's like actually helping out with that too. Like, he's hitting a bunch of home runs right now. So, big deal that he's doing the Hulk.
So I didn't want to take over all of this, but I do want to show.
Show it off. We got time.
My secret Santa was Colby, and he got me. Oh God, this.
If you're listening, Drew is holding up a pretty full tote bag.
So I'm just going to show you. He went to Rock Bottom Comics, our local comic shop, and got me the indie comic grab bag.
Ah.
65 comics. And I opened it with him the other day, but there's a variety of things ranging from like a bunch of Zorro titles. There's one written by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's awesome.
About Mycroft Holmes. And I've got Masks and Masks 2. There's a cool one called Arcadia, which is about a flu ravaging the world. It's from like 10 years ago. I've got Escape from New York. And there's a bunch of like, continual stories that I have a good number of. But anyway, so this is one of the reasons my Stack of Shame is almost the size of my head.
Yeah.
So thank you, Colby. I'll be talking more about these in my future What You've Been Reading Yos for anybody who's curious.
I want to know who wrote the Zorro stuff. Or what company put that?
It's a... They all look like this. American Mythology Productions. And there's like three or four or five different titles. So it's like three or four at a time. I haven't read any of them, but I'm really curious to see.
Yeah. Cool.
So Alex, what you been reading, yo, now that I took 30 minutes to talk about it?
Wow, that's some time travel considering we've only been recording for 20. I've been reading a few things, though not as much as you. For once, I think you're actually beating me. This is a good thing, but over the holidays, I've seen family like nonstop to some extent. Like we're traveling somewhere, going or having people over. Been really good. Happy to see everybody, but it's cut into my comic book reading time. But I did pick up yesterday from the comic shop two books and then two more a couple weeks ago that I've squeezed in. So first one I'll show you is I'm still reading Human Target. This is Human Target number 3. As I said earlier, I mentioned Tom King can, in my book, do no wrong right now. He is easily my favorite writer that's doing stuff right now. He's just, I'll probably say this a million more times on this podcast, but there's some like element of just grounded and humanity to all of his stories, like in a realness that even on a cosmic level or with superheroes and superpowers and flying, that just feels real and weighted and there's consequence and I don't know. It's just easy to relate to, and the storytelling's so good. This was a very fun issue.
Is that Booster?
Yeah, Booster Gold is in this, but also a Green Lantern.
Guy Gardner.
Guy Gardner is in this. So this was a fun issue. Tom King wrote some cool stuff. Also, Greg Smallwood, I believe, does the art. Yeah, incredible art. Very unique style. Won't be surprised if this gets nominated for an Eisner and even wins some. So Human Target, reading that. This one I picked up yesterday purely based on the hype of what I've been reading in comic book Twitter. This is Wonder Woman Historia.
See, I almost picked that up whenever it came out, but I was like, I budget myself every time I walk in, and that was already over my budget.
Right, so the cover price of this was like $7, and it's already bumped up to 12.
Yeah.
So I picked it up because it's... not only oversized, but there's like 64 pages in this.
Yeah,
I need to tell you all, everybody gather in. I was exhausted in a good way after reading this. Okay. This took some energy out of me. The art alone. Okay. First off, Kelly Sue DeConnick is the one who wrote this. If you don't know who that is, she is like the main reason that Captain Marvel is like blown up over the last decade. She also wrote, she's done a lot of girl power stuff. She wrote, this is a controversial title, Future Alex and Drew might have to bleep this out. It's called Bitch Planet, which is a pretty also like female power, girl power kind of type of book. She's done just so many awesome stuff, but like I loved her Captain Marvel run, so I was like super excited just to see like, okay, what can she do with Wonder Woman? Because I believe this is the first time she's ever written for Wonder Woman. She's also, fun fact, though this is not necessarily important, but just fun fact, she's married to Matt Fraction, who did the Hawkeye run. So what a power couple in the comic book world. The art, though, I don't know. The two can't really exist without each other, right? I mean, they can or whatever. Like, we can argue all day about that. But let's see. Who did the art? Phil
Jimenez.
I'm assuming it's Phil Jimenez. It's incredible. It's so rich. Like the only way I can describe this. And then three people colored this. This was colored with by Hi-Fi, Arif Prianto, and Romulo Fajardo Jr. I apologize for butchering those names. The pencils and the art and the inks and the color, it is so rich. It's like you ever eat a sweet and it's just like so much or it's almost to the point of savory. Like it truly is. Some panels I feel... I don't know if I've ever felt like I had to like stop and like truly take in all the art because so much was happening, and there's so many like full double page spreads that I felt guilty for not trying to just look and take in all the textures and the detail. It is
high praise.
It was a very exciting book. Like, very seldom does the art just like force me to stop reading and just step around. And maybe I should take more time to do that in the future.
But I just picked up Batman One Dark Knight, or Dark Knight One, the one that Jock did.
Yeah.
And it's a black label also. Mm-hmm. I haven't even cracked it open. I'm wondering if it's going to do the same thing for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I've noticed, though, that the black label thing, I mean, this is black label.
Yeah.
Wasn't Mr. Miracle also black label? I'm pretty sure it was.
I don't remember.
DC's black label is doing a lot of cool stuff. Basically, it's like they take all their hot writers and they let them tell like canon optional stories. But I don't know what's in the sauce for the black label, but it's awesome.
Because I also have the Superman Year One or Year Two or whatever it was that I bought. That was black label, and I wasn't a big fan.
No?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. I mean, I've only read a handful.
It's hit or miss, I'm sure.
Right, yeah.
Just like
anything.
Every comic that ever came out isn't good.
Yeah. I'll just say this is, I haven't even told you what it's about. The art is incredible, no matter what, like, period. It's objective. The story is like a retelling, or a reclaiming of the history of the Amazons being told for once from the perspective of the women in the Amazons, not from man's perspective. Super cool book. Kelly Sue DeConnick is awesome. This art by Phil Jimenez is insane all the way. I'll let you thumb through some of this. It's heavy. It's just like so rich and thick. I couldn't help but be distracted by it in a good way. Nice. I don't have them in here. I have them in my bedroom, but I don't want to leave. Tori, if you could throw it on the iPad real quick. I've also been reading What's the Furthest Place from Here?
I remember when you brought that up.
Yeah, this is number one and number two, I believe. They're both like similar copies. It's an image book, and I'm not far enough in it to know exactly what's happening yet. Like, I have some premise, but I think it'd be better for it to be read. It's, you know, post-apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. It seems like kids are the only ones that are around and having adults that still exist, but seem few and far between. Having them around you is pretty taboo. It's interesting. That's a Matthew Rosenberg and Tyler Boss book. Nice. That's the stuff that I've been chewing on the most. Tori, what about you? What have you been reading, yo?
I've been reading Spider-Man One Day at a Time.
One more day.
Oh, yeah.
One day at a time. Your New Year's resolution was to read the stuff for the podcast, so you're starting strong.
Right.
You said you read a graphic novel from DJ, right?
Yes, DJ got me a graphic novel called Black Hole that was very good. I finished it one day. I can't recommend it to everybody because it is spicy.
Yes.
But it was very good. It's going to stick with me for a while. Lots of weird images.
Nice. DJ always bringing the challenging books.
I forgot to mention, the book that Torrance got me at DJ's recommendation, Leaving Richard's Valley. I read that. That was that big, thick, like square one.
That?
Yeah, I read it and finished it. I just took it one afternoon. I just started it and I was like, this is weird. And then another day I was like, yeah, okay, it's starting to make sense. And then I was like, yeah, let's finish this. So if you want to check it out, I meant to bring it this time and just forgot. It was in the wrong stack, but it's really interesting. DJ definitely has some recommendations from time to time that are things that I would never even think about. So
yeah, he's the hip guy in the Discord. He knows all the things. He actually, in a very quick little message, changed my thoughts to an extent on the Tobey Maguire dance scene in Spider-Man 3.
Whenever we were talking about that. Yeah,
yeah, like he kind of put something into perspective. I was like, you know what? I kind of agree with that. Mm-hmm. He basically, like, okay, so I think most people tend to trend towards that scene. We'll get to the real content in a second, ladies and gentlemen. They tend to trend towards that scene being kind of campy and cheesy and not quite landing on its feet. And I still tend to feel that way. Like, I don't know if I can ever just be like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. But DJ basically said, like, this makes sense to me because Peter Parker is not some, like, cool hip high school kid who's like, you know, privy to all the new stuff. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense that a kid who maybe is kind of awkward, when he has the bravado and the confidence to jump in and actually do something, completely misses the mark on what is actually cool. But in Peter Parker's mind, what he's doing is actually cool.
Yeah.
I buy that. So maybe on my next watching of that, it won't make my skin crawl as much.
Yeah. By the way, I have watched every Spider-Man movie in the last couple of days. The three Tobey movies, the two Garfield movies, and the two Tom Holland movies in preparation to go rewatch No Way Home in the theaters.
Are you going to go watch it in Dolby Atmos?
That's the plan.
Yeah,
probably Friday.
It's theater one. You have to make sure you pick the right one. They're not all Atmos.
So, yeah.
I rewatched it in Atmos, and I'm disappointed that the sound in the IMAX is not as good as Atmos. It's not even close.
I've always felt
being
that.
Honest.
Yeah,
like
I need the IMAX people to build a partnership with the Dolby people.
Yeah, I don't understand honestly, like how there's a disconnect there. Like, why would you not? I mean, it's also cheaper too. Like, it's $6 or $7 cheaper to get an Atmos ticket, mm-hmm. which sounds, I mean, I did feel myself missing like just the immersiveness of like the height of the IMAX screen. It's, you know, it's kind of like pick which one you want for the day, because you'll notice both of them greatly. Anyway, should we take a quick break and then jump right into Spider-Man? Cool.
Sounds good.
We will be right back. And we're back, and we are covering Spider-Man One More Day, parts 1 through 4. That is the entire collection of this. This jumps across several different Spider-Man stories, but it is kind of a collected story. Just to kind of set a back scope, this takes place shortly after the events of the OG Civil War event, which is pretty awesome. If you haven't read that, it's all on Marvel Unlimited, or you can find a trade of it. Pretty awesome. Spider-Man is a major player in Civil War comics.
Major player.
Way more so than he was. I mean, he was definitely introduced in the movie in the MCU, but I mean, it was kind of like the swing vote, if you will, as far as
I see what you did there.
Yeah. by the way, let me know what you thought of the Spider-Man No Way Home thumbnail on YouTube. I spent an embarrassing amount of time in Photoshop making that happen. Drew thinks it belongs in the Louvre.
Yes.
Cool. So Spider-Man One More Day starts off with The Amazing Spider-Man number 544. We got this pretty awesome cover here. If you only had one more day, what would you do?
Which I do have to say, with that preamble, is that the right use? It did not do anything. I was expecting to see like Spider-Man being like, oh, I've got one day to live. You know, that's what I was taking from it, thinking, I've got one day to live. I'm going to go see, oh God, it was going to be so funny. Anyway, I'm going to go to the Louvre. I'm going to go see this. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go see Wayne
Newton.
It's
a blowout sale. I've only got one more day to take advantage.
In retrospect, I realized my joke was going to get out. I'm going to go see Wayne Newton, and that's not as funny as I thought. Maybe Liberace. I'm going to go see Liberace. Yeah. You know, I was expecting, like, you got a day to do all these things, and the story is not that. It doesn't quite go that way.
No.
But we'll get to that.
I should say, I guess, because of how fresh Spider-Man No Way Home is, this will likely contain spoilers for that film, because there are a lot of parallels from this One More Day story that they absolutely took inspiration from for the film.
I wonder if it would be possible for us to try to be spoiler-free as we're talking about it, and then just like dump it at the end, like talk about really what we think. That's what I was just thinking. I think it might be possible, but it might be hard.
So
the
don't
time.
Reference like, so this was like the moment.
Yeah,
until the end. I mean, then, I can try to remember. I don't
but
know
then, yeah, we'll forget. Yeah. So forget it. Just say.
Just take a pause.
We'll try
watch
to
watch the movie.
We'll try to be swift with it, so that maybe if we say, here's the spoiler, maybe you can just skip forward.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Spoiler warning for Spider-Man No Way Home. So Spider-Man One More Day starts off, and we get like essentially what happened. Again, we're going to give you the high notes. Please go read this. It's 4 issues. They actually read pretty quick. Like, I was moving through them quick and getting through them. So Aunt May was shot, and she's in the hospital in the ICU because somebody tried to take out Peter Parker.
Because the world knows.
Because now they know who Peter Parker is. So in the Civil War in the MCU, it's different than the one for the comics. I mean, they kind of have the same premise, but it's the Superhero Registration Act in the comics. and it's the side of Tony Stark thinks everybody should register. Everybody should know your identity so you can be held accountable for your actions. Captain America's side is against that and thinks that the anonymity is still important. So the big swing is Peter Parker joins Iron Man early on and is the first like big superhero to reveal his identity who wasn't out before. So it's like one of the key moments in an early issue of Civil War. So he eventually switches sides to Captain America. We'll probably cover Civil War one day, and that's, I guess, a spoiler for that as well, but that's also came out in like 2006. So anyway, everybody knows he's out, and like it happens in many comic books, like the fact that people know who you are and know who your loved ones are, they can come for you. And I don't think in this they were actually going for Aunt May, but he was around Mary Jane and Aunt May, and they knew where to find him because now he's just a guy that you can kind of look up. Mm-hmm. And a sniper shot at him and missed Peter and hit Aunt May, and now she's on the verge of death, and Peter Parker is fully thinking like he's responsible for this. So we're like, we get this like pretty heavy spread of her in bed and like dying. Mm-hmm. And just like in the movie, we've seen this in the trailers, Peter ends up going to Doctor Strange to try to fix this because he's being told by the doctors she's probably not going to make it. And honestly, we don't have even the resources unless you've got deep pockets to like take care of her. And the only reason that one of the doctors agrees to like do his best to pull some strings is because he claims at one point Spider-Man saved his life.
Can I jump in and say there is one before he goes to Doctor Strange? He goes to Tony.
Yes. Like that's a big moment. Yeah, sure.
There's an intense, and Peter's not even in his in his outfit. He's like, everybody knows what's the matter, and I'm in a hurry.
He goes there because the doctor tells him, like, you need some money. And he's like, well, here's a guy I know who's money. And Spider-Man thinks it's his fault.
Yeah. And Tony's basically like, look, I can't do this. And they fight. It's
it's a pretty intense fight.
I've been listening to a whole lot of My Marvelous a year. Yeah. And there's the number of times that they talk about two superheroes meet each other, and before talking, they start swinging fists.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens because, you know, there's bad blood between them. But he's like, look, I'm not here for me. I'm here for May. Mm-hmm. You know May. And Tony stops and he's just like, look, I can't do this. It'll get traced back to me. And you're like, God, you jerk. And then he makes it back home and Jarvis comes in. He's like, is there anything you'd like, sir? And he's like, no, actually. There and then the next scene, Jarvis comes in saying that he is Jarvis Morgan.
Yeah.
Because Peter Parker, they checked in under an alias.
So that it don't make it worse.
And so Jarvis, who's like, $2 million has been dropped into my account for my sister cousin, or cousin or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, so Tony's still cool.
I mean, got a heart at least to some extent.
Even though in public, like he figures out a way to help. And then that's whenever she's kind of stabilized, maybe.
Yeah.
Then he goes to Doctor Strange.
Right. And then so just because we mentioned this fight, Tori, if you pull up the iPad, if you're not there already, this was like a gnarly scene. We get Peter Parker just throwing a left hook across Iron Man's thing and like busting his knuckles.
And he makes a comment, cool panel. Ever since my webs went internal.
Yeah. I don't remember when that happened.
There's stuff at the very end of the book where it looks like it's not like in Toby's where it's biological.
Right.
It's like I think he literally has things implanted into him. Gotcha. But it comes out of his thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I was like, I saw that and I was like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. I will say I think Tori and I were talking about this before we started recording. Some of the depictions of the faces are a little weird. Yeah. Like if I could like somehow copy out and just see this guy punching Iron Man, I'd be like, who is that? Mm-hmm. That doesn't look like Peter Parker to me. This is Joe Quesada drawn though, which is quite the big name of the Marvel universe as far as creating.
In my eyes, as I was reading this, like, the face, like I use the word grotesque on this show too much. It wasn't grotesque, but like the details, like the overlining of faces.
Yeah.
I felt like it just kind of worked for the anguish that everybody was feeling in the moments, you know? So it's just like, it might look weird, but Peter Parker's not himself right now.
Right. It's not as bad as, what do we read? The Tower of Babel faces. Yeah. Those were just flat out ridiculous. Yeah. But, it's definitely not my favorite, but it wasn't to the point of just completely distracting me. So anyway, Peter goes on to find. Oh yeah, this was one more panel. Oh, yeah. He like completely unloads his webs all over Iron Man.
And that's whenever I mentioned it. He was just like, ever since my webs went internal, I've wondered what would happen if I just let go.
This panel was incredible. Shows him,
and then you cut to it, and it's just like,
yeah,
he looks like a mummy.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, he does eventually go to Doctor Strange, just like he does. He's basically like saying it like the doctor's here telling me, you know, nothing can be done. Sorry, was that in? Okay, yeah. So that's basically what happens.
Yeah,
in issue one. The first one, he doesn't even get to Doctor Strange, and he basically tells MJ he's going to go talk to him and like try to actually get some help because he's refusing to accept that this doctor's saying, look, I'm amazed that you got this Hail Mary $2 million to at least make her comfortable, but she's already really old. She's probably not going to live. And he just refuses to accept that. So then we move on to Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Let me pull up the earlier pages of this so that I can get the actual credits. So this is the same team, right? Did I say it last time? Michael Straczynski, Joe Quesada, Danny Mickey, Richard Asanov, and then Chris Eliopoulos.
Maybe they just gave everybody the week off.
Yeah, they said, all right, you guys.
You're normally doing Friendly Spider-Man, but hey, we're going to take it for this week.
Right, yeah. So we do actually get to him going to Doctor Strange. Yep. I'm trying to get to these panels.
Man, there's a lot of things that were very similar. Like just even the design of the I got vibes.
Sanctum
Sanctorum. Well, no, of the bowl thing that they're doing the spells over. It reminded me a lot of The Way Home.
Yeah. So Doctor Strange is in there doing magic. Peter's like pitching his case, like, "Hey, this is my fault. What can we do?" And Doctor Strange is basically telling him,
"There's nothing.
There's nothing we can do."
He even goes on. He's just like, for a second, I thought we were going to get a little recap. Like, hey, if you don't know who Doctor Strange is, let me give you a quick backstory. But it was really saying, my hands, I was a surgeon. My hands were destroyed. But I learned from the Ancient One, all that stuff. But eventually he just got to the point where he's like, but look, as a surgeon, the one thing I've learned is that the people don't regret, you know, all kinds of stuff, but they do regret not being there at their side. And it's just him saying, like, look, you need to be with her. You need to be by her side because she'll remember you.
Right.
She can hear you. But then he's like, no, I got to do something. And that's whenever the spell's different than from No Way Home. It was an interesting one.
Yeah. He basically sends him back and to
everywhere at once.
To everywhere and every point in time. And there's this cool, like, full spread here. Mm-hmm. Like, you see him pleading with Dr. Doom and, like, with, what's his name? Mr. Ultimate Universe Reed Richards. Yeah, what's his name?
I can't remember.
He's a villain. He's like super evil in the Ultimate Universe. He's like one of the main.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
It's the something. I'm such an inventor?
I suck so bad at
comic books. Anyway, you see him pleading with all these people, with T'Challa, with Morbius, with Doc Ock, with Hank Pym, just all these people, and he's getting told no, and he comes back and tells Doctor Strange that they also told him the same thing. And basically, in a very similar manner to what happens in the film, Peter tampers with the spell after coming back to try to like actually do some time travel.
There was a neat moment where they actually gave us the translation and then the Latin of what it was that he said. And Peter is like, you know, there's something that's similar between engineers and doctors, and that is that we all kind of have to know Latin.
Right.
So he basically he remembered the spell because he's super smart. And I didn't go back to check to see if he said the same one or if he altered it a little bit to help him. But so he shoots himself back in time.
Yeah, but to a very specific moment.
Yeah, we finally see what happened with May.
Yeah, so he ends up inside the room where the shooter is, who's about to shoot, and the guy's just kind of resting, waiting for them.
But he's intangible, like he
kind of like how in the movie he gets pushed out of his body, but he's still like
good call
holding the thing there. So they kind of, I mean, again, there's a lot of parallels. I didn't know that they pulled so much from him. Yeah. So he like is trying to, even though he's intangible and ghost like, he's trying to fight this guy. He's just hands are just phasing through him. The guy doesn't even know he's there. Yeah. But he does have a couple moments of him. He says, "I have to try." He sees himself out there. This is very. Actually, I'm going to save this analogy because it's better for later. He's out there. He sees himself, and he's like, "Have you ever seen Interstellar?"
Yeah.
Okay, so when he's in that library at the very end, spoilers for Interstellar, and he's like pushing the books off the thing, and it's himself. You know, he's like, but he can't quite in the moment get that. He's he's basically, I think, activating his own spider sense, or at least some sort of awareness, and trying to do it. But long story short, he ends up reliving it again.
Mm-hmm. Nothing changes.
Nothing changes. He has to just watch Aunt May die again. There's also these kind of demon things that in this plane that they're on are literally there to stop
what he's doing.
What he's trying to tamper with time.
You see this a lot. You know, basically wraiths that exist to right the timeline, to correct the timeline. So
yeah, here's a pretty tragic panel of him again having to watch Aunt May get shot, and then he sees himself covering MJ, and then both of them screaming no, and it just goes through again, and Doctor Strange comes in using the Eye of Agamotto, which is not the time stone of this. It's just a powerful magical thing.
I was wondering.
And it gets him out and brings him back to the Sanctum Sanctorum, but at a different point because of time travel, essentially. Yeah,
time travel.
Like the time travel paradox. You can't see, or
he can't see your past self, you know.
Right.
So he goes to a time that he knows that Doctor Strange is out so that he can heal Peter Parker in the Sanctum Sanctorum. But he ends up having a conversation with that time's Peter Parker.
Right.
But Peter's like in this protective thing. Anyway,
And there's a
time travel.
Did you go read us number 42
I didn't.
I didn't either. I might do that later. But I have a feeling that whatever Doctor Strange told this time's Spider-Man is important based on this right here. This is See Amazing Spider-Man number 42 for the rest of this scene. So just another little continuity thing that they did here. Essentially, he tells Peter to stay there and like not try to mess anything up. Yeah. And
he heals him.
He heals him and takes care of him.
Puts him back in the time they came from.
Right. And basically tells him like what Drew said earlier, you need to try and just go be with her. Like that's the biggest mistake you're making right now, is that you're not like letting her go. He lets him know like her death is important in the grand scheme of the multiverse existing. Like, you know, people die. This is probably her time. But again, Peter Parker can't just come to terms with the fact that this was his fault in his eyes. Just kind of like the same reason that he has, spoiler alert, that Aunt May dies in Spider-Man No Way Home. He feels that it's his fault again, that she was there and he could have done something to stop it. And it's just kind of, you know, you can imagine it takes over this rage. So anyway, he leaves, he's outside, it's raining, he's in the suit. And then this little girl walks up to him with red hair and basically says that she can fix this problem.
You can't change time, but I can.
Yeah. And when I saw this, I had no idea who this was.
Yeah.
I had never seen this character. I had a feeling like maybe we'll see, but super interesting that this little girl just kind of shows up. Drew, do you want to take this next issue?
And the next issue, which accidentally was...
Is it the same creative team?
Oh, I don't know.
Sensational Spider-Man.
The first book that Torrance read of this series.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the big twist. So
this is... same team.
Same team. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to go through quick. The girl leads him to somebody.
So one preface just for you to view this lens through of everything he's going to say. This is the analogy I was going to use earlier. Ghosts of Christmas Past.
Dude, you took my.
Did I really?
Yeah, it's in my notes right here. Ghosts of Christmas Carol.
I thought you were going to start reading stuff.
No, I've got my notes.
I'm so sorry.
I was going to sound smart to people.
I'm so sorry.
So
you were smart. You got there and you wrote it down.
The little girl's like basically leading him through people. And the first guy we meet is this dude. He's like playing a Game Boy. Or no, he was reading a magazine or something. And it's just this guy who just like kind of quickly divulges his life. It's weird.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, yeah.
Reading a book.
I wasn't
Atlas
successful.
Shrugged.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Ayn Rand. And he just talks about, I love video games, you know, because I never really had anybody. Mm-hmm. And then before they're able to get into much, another guy calls him from a really nice car.
Yeah.
And he sits down inside, like just taking a ride with strangers, whatever.
Who did you think this was when you first saw it?
Well, I don't want to say because that's who it was.
Okay. I thought it was Tony Stark because there's like a red car and it kind of looks like an older, like Howard Stark a little bit.
He's got these heads up display. Like, it looks like
very
tech.
Yeah.
So he sits down and this guy's telling him like, I had this woman I loved, but I didn't get her. You know, I've got so many women on speed dial. They'll come by. I'm successful. I've got millions, all this stuff. And then he gets them to the place where he's supposed to go. But it's just like, so you have this one guy who's not successful, one guy that's super successful, but unhappy. Both are unhappy. And then we finally, he drops him off to this woman in red.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. She basically tells him, so those people that you met, you know, she talks a little bit about time,
right,
and the multiverse and whatnot, sort of, not necessarily in those terms. She talks about it in terms of dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, those two people that you just met were other possible yous. And then right, it goes back and fills it in. You realize both of these were what might have happened with one different sentence, one small change. Like, the multiverse doesn't change with big events. It changes with small things, like right, the butterfly effect.
It shows one here, like somebody calling him right before he gets bit by the spider. Mm-hmm. And he turns away, and then somebody walks by and actually steps on the spider that would have turned him into Spider-Man. Just tell a small yeah, little thing.
Yeah. And so this the young, or the first guy we met is just like, he never became Spider-Man, never mm-hmm, got to know MJ, and was just sad and dejected from it. The other guy went another way, and that was him whenever he got super successful.
Yeah. And started Parker Industries.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he did for real.
He eventually does do that, yeah, in the comics, so, yes.
But he wasn't Spider-Man. He was just like the typical Wall Street tycoon that's works and works and makes a ton of money, but money doesn't give him happiness type of thing.
Right.
And then this this woman in red who we see, I don't know if
eyes start glowing red.
Yeah. And she turns into who everybody expected her to be the second you see her, Mephisto.
Yeah. So we get this awesome panel here of Mephisto jumping out, and it's so timely. Mm-hmm. Unless you're under a rock, which if you're listening to this podcast, you're not. You know that everybody's been screaming about Mephisto for mm-hmm, literally the entire year of MCU projects. Like, since WandaVision came out, the first project of this year, it's got to be Mephisto. And then ever since then, it's just like, okay, where's Mephisto? Everybody thought mm-hmm, that because of... So there are people that had read this well before we're talking about it now, obviously, but they thought just because of the parallels in the trailer mm-hmm, that Doctor Strange
was Mephisto,
because there's obviously some pretty heavy parallels mm-hmm, you know, how this turns up, and they for sure had to have taken some influence. Yeah. Anyway, carrying on.
So he has this interesting conversation with Mephisto. It's like, okay, so you're here, you're going to make a deal with me, you want my soul.
Yeah.
And this is a really interesting thing. Mephisto's like, souls, I might get your soul anyway. Souls yeah, are nothing.
Where's the fun in that, yeah, he says.
What I want is misery. I want yeah, your misery. So basically he's just, we don't really get the deal, but he's just like, I can save Aunt May in exchange for something.
Right.
And, but before he even considers it, he's like, I'm not just me. Mm-hmm. I've got a life partner. I need to talk to MJ.
Right.
And he's like, of course. And they open this door, and MJ is having the same conversation with yeah, Mephisto. And that's just kind of where it ends, right? It's just like they start to kind of talk about it, but we wrap up.
Yes. Well, he does say what he wants. He okay, says, they ask him, like, he's like, enough games, what do you want? And I'll just read this right here. He says, what I want is greater than any one paltry soul can provide me. What I want is the one thing in the universe that is truly greater than the sum of its parts and the tastier than any single soul that I could devour. I want that which gives you joy, which sustains you in your moments of greatest despair, the source not of your power, but your strength, your happiness, your dreams, and your passion. I want your love. I want your marriage.
Yeah.
And basically we get them reacting to that, and then
that's where is that
suddenly
where
MJ kind of right before it ends, you see that she's kind of like
considering,
wants to hear him out yeah, at least, and then it ends.
Yeah.
So pretty heavy stuff, which again, we kind of see some parallels of what might yeah, happen. Peter Parker mm-hmm, messes up the spell in the movie because he realizes MJ is going to forget who he mm-hmm, is, so somebody taking away his love.
But in a bit of a twist, do we just assume that the next one's the same creative team?
I think so, yeah. They changed the last one.
I don't see why they would.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Okay, so we kind of jump in, and we're still in the conversation, and they're kind of considering it, you know, or mm-hmm, like just keeping their options open. But MJ's like, look, it's not a sweet enough deal for you yeah, just to save MJ for the sake of us losing our marriage. Like,
save Aunt May.
Yeah,
you
sorry,
should save MJ, yeah.
The identity needs to be wiped. So basically, MJ is the one that's asking what Peter asked in No Way Home.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, she's like, if we forget this, it solves a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. And like, Peter's like, stop, what are you doing? And like, right, before they're even able to, like, he begrudgingly agrees.
Yeah.
They both agree to the deal. and for the sake of Aunt May, for the sake of many things, and Mephisto at the last second like switches back into the woman in red, I think.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, I'm surprised you never asked who that little girl was.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, this, and exactly what I thought was going to happen. She's like, this was the daughter that you're never going to have from this marriage.
Right. Because,
and they're like, no.
Yeah. There was this very tasteful moment when Peter and MJ decide, okay, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. We've got one more day.
Yeah.
To live with each other. And they just sit there and kind of embrace each other. And it's the same panel over and over with the shades of the day of the natural light changing on each one of them. It's a really kind of beautiful moment. And he kind of talks eventually at the very end, and she just shushes him, like, don't ruin this moment, stay in it.
And then it ends, and Peter wakes up to a brand new day, which is the whole thing. I almost started reading the brand new day thing. I'll get into it in a second, but like, I almost started reading this, the one that happens after one more day, like 3 years ago, and for whatever reason, I never did. So Peter wakes up, and him and MJ have apparently, in this continuity, recently had a falling out. So they know each other. It's not like they don't know each other. They still grew up together, but something happened and they never hit it off. And so what did I do?
Yeah, they go to this party for Harry Osborn. And
because
she's
Harry's
there.
Back from Europe, and it's icy between them.
Yeah, you can see her leaving here kind of in... they didn't really even talk or interact. They're just nothing to each other. Kind of the same way that it ends in the movie.
My name is Peter Parker, and can I have a coffee?
Yeah.
The difference between this and No Way Home, spoiler, is Peter doesn't remember anything now.
Sure.
So, I mean, the one thing, this was the deal with Mephisto saying, I want your misery. You're going to forget. You're not going to consciously remember this bargain, but something in the back of your mind
is. A part of your soul.
And you're... they're always going to know. So, like, I'm assuming at some point...
he said something to the effect of, I get to hear that part of your soul scream for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, so it's just very similar to No Way Home, except I think Marvel just needed a reboot. They were like, oh, look, everybody knows who Peter Parker is.
Right.
And we kind of need that to be a secret for the sake of this, so let's figure out this reboot potential and just write the ship.
I mean, it was a great way to implement... you know, it also created... what works is that they did it at the third film, and now there's all this tension that has to be resolved by making more films. Mm-hmm. Super cool. And I don't know, this series was a really fun little short run, but I really enjoyed it.
It was a good one, making me think, this might be a good place. Like, I would recommend checking this out, you know, because it is from like 2007 or something. But it does give you a decent, quick backstory realignment to jump into an ongoing series with Brand New Day if you wanted to.
Right.
Just tossing that
out there. Yeah, and it's, you know, it does have like some of the tropes of, you know, making a deal with the devil, except there's no resolution here. Like, by the end of the story, it's just happened. But there's lots of, again, I like humane, real, down-to-earth moments, especially when, you know, they can sneak those in amongst gods, essentially, you know, or just mighty powerful men. Like, it's always impressive when they don't have to just throw fists for an entire comic book to keep my interest. So this had moments and elements of that. And what would you do? Like, anytime a comic book can make you ask the question, what would you do in that situation? You know, could you leave your wife if your 87-year-old aunt was about to die? Just because not to underplay, but just because you thought maybe you were responsible for that.
I mean, I read this into it. I can't remember if they put it out in actual words, but I feel like there was a conversation between them saying, like, look, we're meant to be. We're going to find each other again.
Right. And they they pull that again. She's like, you know, she tells him in the movie, I love you, and she said, don't tell me until you come find me, you know. So, sure, it has we're going to fix this written all over it, but doesn't make it any lesser of a story.
But
I really enjoyed it.
It gives Peter Parker the secret again.
Sure.
So we can go back to business as usual.
Secret identity.
With a little extra drama of getting to meet MJ again.
Yeah. And Mephisto.
Yeah.
Everyone is Mephisto. Excuse me.
It was good. If you enjoyed this, great. We'll be back the next couple of weeks with, this isn't the end of the episode, so I'm just letting you know, we're going to have some other Spidey comics.
More
join
Spider-Man.
The Discord, link in the show notes, if you want to know what we're reading before.
Yeah, so you can read ahead of the episode and discuss with us.
Yes.
Tori, what did you think?
I liked it a lot. I had a real specific thought that I was going to drop on you, but...
Was it completely ruined reading the third act, essentially?
I was confused.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, this is... There must have been some stuff that I should have gone in knowing beforehand.
Yeah.
Like, it was just... But...
Yeah, Tori texted both of us last night in our chat and was like, I accidentally read the third issue of 4 first. And I was like, no!
Marvel Unlimited tried to take me from the first one to the fourth one.
It did the same to me, yeah. and I caught it.
I was like, this doesn't feel right. Yeah. It said 1 of 4 and 4 of 4, so yeah. I had to go and hide it.
Maybe you should report that to Marvel Unlimited. Well, because it's in the story run, you should be able to, like... I mean, the way they set it up, the progression, it makes sense that it would just go to the next issue that makes sense. Also, they do a pretty good job of taking feedback, so maybe we'll reach out to them. Their coding team works hard.
If you remember what it was,
just jump in at any point.
Sure, I will.
Cool. Do we need to just jump into trivia for time's sake?
I'm ready if you guys are.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Cool. Here we are with our two-man lightning round trivia where our questions are faster than Mephisto will make a deal with you to save your aunt.
Yeah.
Don't show my iPad on the screen. I'm pulling up my question.
You got it.
I've got mine first.
Go ahead.
So we're going to go ahead and treat this as a four-episode trivia round.
The month being January. So yeah, we're not there yet.
Spidey-wary.
Well, back by the time you're listening to this, it will be January for you.
So this first one is a giveaway.
Yep.
Because I want to do an impression. And before we said this, Torrance said his involved an impression too. So
go ahead.
So if we both are asking the same question, I guess we have to possibly quit the podcast again.
Just so you know, when you say this is a giveaway, the pressure for me to get this correct goes through the roof, because if I don't know it, I have to just stare at the camera like an idiot.
Okay, so like we just mentioned, I have spent the last like 4 days rewatching the Raimi-verse, the Garfield-verse.
Yeah.
I don't know who directed that.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
And the Tom Holland ones.
The
so
MCU.
I Googled Spider-Man trivia, and one came down to it, and all it said was one thing, and I was like, that's my question. So what was the name in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man #1
movie? Uh-huh.
What was the name of the wrestler that Spider-Man went up against?
Oh.
Was this your question?
No, but
okay, good.
I know the answer, I think.
I know the answer to this, but I'm drawing a heavy blank right now. Hold on, give me a second. You can play ding-dong music. Okay. See, I'm like thinking of the back end of the impression right now.
And I will destroy you.
No, not that part. My impression is him saying his name.
Right. Is it the Crusher?
No.
I can't remember. Yeah. Go ahead.
Bonesaw is ready.
Bonesaw, of course. Yeah. Not a giveaway.
I don't feel like the impression came out as well as I normally do it, because I was worried about the mic.
Have you done that several times?
Oh yeah. Like, I just, like, whenever he came onto the screen, I turned to Holly and I said, I'm gonna try it again, but I'm gonna back off the mic.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I am Macho Man Randy Savage whenever I do it.
Bonesaw is ready.
Gold. Yeah, so, that's the good stuff. Y'all
so I'm
come
sorry.
Here for.
I thought it was a giveaway.
I remember exactly.
I almost did this. Would that have given it away?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking the Crusher for some reason.
Bonesaw.
Crusher, yeah. Bonesaw. All right.
Wow, so I'm winning.
You are winning.
You knew that?
Yeah.
Torrance?
I did.
Okay, I'll give mine next. There are multiple answers for this possible. I'm only going to give you just if you get one, that's your point. I'll give you a little backstory. When the Hobgoblin was introduced into Spider-Man comics, they were looking for a new villain without bringing back the Green Goblin and without making his son the Green Goblin again or doing anything like that. They were looking for just some fresh villain. So they came up with the Hobgoblin, which was actually a time of like a lot of controversy for the Spider-Man. Like, I think people lost their jobs over arguing the very thing that I'm going to ask you about. When they first wrote him into comics, they had not yet decided who he was going to be underneath the mask. Who was the... I gotta not the first unmasked, because it was kind of a trope that they kept unmasking, and it wasn't actually, that's not who it is. It's somebody that's brainwashed or something. But who was the first canon, at least I'm 99% sure that this was the first, like, okay, this is actually him. Mm-hmm. Even though they retconned it later to make it somebody else. If you can give me the retcon answer, I'll also accept that. But who was the first canon Hobgoblin?
Well, I'm not going to give my answer. I'm going to say, because you kind of told me beforehand, I always thought, because I've never read any Hobgoblin, mm-hmm. I always assumed it was Harry.
Ah.
That's not my answer.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because my mind started spinning, and I have an idea. I have a thought.
Uh-huh.
It seems crazy, but it also seems comic booky.
Yeah.
Uncle Ben.
No.
Oh. That would have been wild, right?
Yeah. Would be brainwashed very Uncle Ben. Yeah, yeah, brainwashed Uncle Ben. Any guesses for you, just for funsies?
I don't have any guesses.
Cool. Ned Leeds.
So his friend.
His friend. In the comics is more of a coworker.
Okay.
Ned Leeds in the MCU is his best friend, but also is basically who Genki is, Miles Morales' mm-hmm. best friend. Like, mm-hmm. he looks and acts like Genki, but his name Ned Leeds. They kind of yeah. smush the characters together. But yeah, the Hobgoblin was Ned Leeds, and then they retcon later because that pissed off a lot of people at Marvel that they couldn't agree at all. Like, it was like legitimate fighting, people getting let go, people spearheading, taking over projects that people were working on just to like go, no, I've already drawn it. This is who it is. I watched a whole like short little documentary on that last night.
Interesting.
Roderick Kingsley.
No idea who that is.
Actually ended up being the Hobgoblin, I believe.
Okay.
When they retconned, or maybe, yeah, I think that was it. That or, hold on. Yeah, I think that's who it was.
Oh.
John Romita Jr. was involved in all of that. It was a big mess, so apparently.
Earlier in this, just a few minutes ago, I said, I'm winning, forgetting how trivia works. So actually, we're tied 0-0.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Torrance?
Okay. This writer, let me back off. This might be a real easy one, too.
It's fine.
So we'll see.
I thought Bonesaw was going to be an easy one.
Oh, burn. Put a little tear if I can.
Writer Mike Conroy described him as one of the dimmest villains, Spider-Man villains. By the way, this is
name that super villain.
Whose real name is Alexei Sietsiewicz.
Oh, that was my guess before I even started. Drew, I almost said the Rhino.
Yes.
Wow.
The only reason I know that is because of my binging.
Just watched,
Yeah. So whenever you said dim, I just instantly thought the Rhino, just because of the connotation of it. And I was like, I didn't remember his name, but I remembered he was played by Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
And when he shows up in the post-credit scene or whatever it was, mm-hmm. or at the very end of the movie, I was just like, oh, that CGI is bad. but he's just like, I am whatever you said my name is, and but you can call me the Rhino.
Yeah.
So
did you see his silhouette in No Way Home? As one that was trying to break through at the end.
Oh, no, I didn't. I was wondering. I need to.
They had him. Kraven the Hunter had a silhouette up there. Oh, I'm sure others that I missed.
Hey.
Cool. You are winning.
I just beat you in a Spider-Man quiz.
Ouch.
Of course.
My heart.
I have 1 point. You have 0. We still have 3 weeks to go.
Yeah. I'm a buzzer beater kind of guy.
Yeah.
So, speaking of that, hashtag slap bet, I'm going to get it done.
So we'll have to consult with Colby.
Yeah.
To see if you single-handedly pull something together, do you get to slap me? Or I always thought it was like all or nothing. Like if something comes out, we're both safe.
That seems...
I'm just resigned to the fact that we're both going like to slap each other.
I do not want to get slapped.
We have... What is the date today?
It's the 29th, I believe.
So we have 2 days to release something.
Oh, no, it's the 30th. It's today and tomorrow. Today and tomorrow. Yeah.
You have 36 hours.
Yeah. That's enough time.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll make it work. Cool. Any closing thoughts, fellas?
I have a question. Oh, did you?
No.
Okay. Do you like this approach we're trying, where we're going to cover stories quickly that you can jump onto week after week, or do you like the longer ones where you know for 4 weeks you're going to hear us talking about one storyline?
Yeah.
I'd love to know what you think.
Yep.
If you're listening to this and you're already on the Discord, you are duty-bound to tell us your thoughts right now. If you're listening to this and you haven't joined the Discord, please join the Discord. And then at that time, you will be duty bound to answer that question.
Yep. leave a review on podcasts wherever you listen. Like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. We're putting out a lot of content. Really appreciate the feedback we get and just sharing the word, sharing the gospel. Yeah.
Having some fun with our questions of the week on Discord that come from all kinds of people. And yep. Sometimes it's more than one a week. We want to know what your thinkings are of, hey, which Batman did you think was the best on screen? So, you know, things like that.
Yep. Cool. All right, until next time, we'll see you later, and Happy New Year. Bye.
See you later. With great power comes great responsibility.
Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
Hello.
Welcome to Movie Phone.
Welcome to Movie Phone. You know, that's just me doing Kramer.
Yeah, that's Seinfeld. What I thought you were doing.
Okay, yeah. Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone, because he ends up having a phone number that's the movie phone number, yeah. Right? And he just like... becomes the movie phone guy. It makes me remember the movie phone line that you would call, and also 521 time. I would call that every morning, and it would give me the weather for Springdale.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yeah. I wonder if it still works. It's fine.
How old are you?
I'm either 37 or 38.
I guess I didn't know you were that old.
I'm an oldie.
I like that the only part of me you see is my, literally just my fingers here.
Your guy in the chair. That's yeah. Ominous in a cartoon. You can only see
it
the
is.
Hand.
Isn't that like the claw from Inspector Gadget? Mm-hmm.
You're the claw.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been recording this whole time. I forgot. Yeah. Will you talk into your mic a little bit?
Talking into the mic. I don't know why this is such a. I have such a hard time with this check.
It's part. Stage fright.
Stage yeah. fright. I don't know what to say other than check, check.
That's why I always say hello and welcome to Movie Phone.